Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12. It's very interesting to me that God directed the writer of Hebrews right after all of that about rest, and just before he talks about the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood, he drops this passage in about the Word of God. Absolutely amazing passage, and we'll spend our time there today. Next Sunday, if God allows us to still be together on this planet, we'll spend the whole hour around the communion table and worship the Lord through really focusing on what that means. And then a Mother's Day special, and then a special on the third Sunday of May on a new program that's being developed to help people with addictive issues. And then the fourth one is Memorial Weekend, and we'll put some, thank you for that coaching, Tom. Between you and Carol, I think you'll keep me on track here. And we'll do some emphasis with our military people and the whole thing about remembering. So we're going to leave Hebrews after today and pick it up again in June. I think it'll be a healthy break. Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12 in the NIV. For the Word of God is living and it's active. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. It goes right to the heart of life and our the core of our being, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Those are powerful words. The book you hold in your hand, or if you're looking on your smartphone or your Kindle or your iPad, is more than just a book. It's more than just the Bible. It's a record in a language that we can understand of the thoughts of Creator God. I think it's fair to say that this book is God in action. He speaks truth, power. Creator God, words that we understand. The power of words. I've been so fascinated in these days of preparation and anxious to talk about the power of words. Before we go through the text, will you think with me about the power of words? James 1:19 is one of the most convicting verses to me in the entire Bible. It says we should just speak a little, we should listen a lot, and we shouldn't become angry. Stop and think about your life. I think about my life. Think about the issues of our world. There's too much talk going on that isn't thought out. And then we either have to admit that we said too much or we said something wrong or try to justify it by how? More words. But when God speaks, that's not the case. His words are power. They're living. They cut to the heart. And they're always truth. The power of words. You can destroy a tall building and build a new one. But with a word or a few words, you can destroy a child's self-esteem, and they may never completely recover from it. We can do that to our mate. We can do that to a friend. A lifelong good reputation can be tarnished or maybe destroyed by a word of accusation. The power of words. I wrote down, you can deny God's presence, but you cannot deny his word. You can deny that he exists, but you cannot deny his word. How do I know that? All I have to do is go to the beginning of the Bible and read about creation and read four words that Jesus spoke. Let there be light. Can you explain that? It isn't about the sun and the moon and the stars. They're wonderful. They're all involved with light. We won't need those in heaven because Jesus is light. And God said, I'm going to make a world that's light. His word. His word brought light into existence. You can say there is no God, but I don't think you can explain the universe without him. I think it's so fun to read through those early accounts. And he's making all these amazing things, and they're all good. And you get all caught up in how vast the creation thing is. And then almost as an afterthought, it says, he made the stars also. In the vastness of the creative word of God, making stars that we can't count or even explain how many there are. I made those two. Amazing. Powerful words. I'm going to make a few statements, and I will pause after each one, and allow us time to think of a person, an event, or something that makes this touch our emotions. Okay? The power of words. I love you. I hate you. I don't even like to say it out loud. You're wise. You're so stupid. You have so much value. You're worthless. You're beautiful. You're ugly. The power of words. Words are the most powerful tools known to humans. One word can change our life. Think about it. The word forgiven. In day-to-day relationships and our eternal position with Creator God, forgiven, redeemed, accepted, justified, pardoned, secure, hope, peace, grace, love. Each of these words make a statement of Creator God in action. The power of his word. Jesus is God, so listen to some of his words. Out in a boat, massive storm, panicked companions, boat about to capsize, frantic disciples, and Jesus, who is God, simply says, be calm, and the sea quiets. You know anybody that can do that besides him? Somebody that's had an illness for decades and spend all the doctors, and Jesus finds them. He simply says, be healed. And they're well. Powerful. Or the guy that was unable to walk, and they carried him in every day so he could beg people for some coins to get through the day. And Jesus walks up and says, rise and walk. gets up, he walks. Power of God in words. And a favorite of all of us, Jesus stands in front of that tomb, and good old Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and Jesus is talking about bringing him out, and the two sisters are all nervous because they think he's not in very good shape 4 days later. Jesus stands in front of the tomb, and he calls him by name, and he says, "Come out of that grave," and he comes walking out, all bound up in grave clothes, and Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Power of words. God in action in the person of Jesus. And then his disciples who are worried when Jesus says, "I'm going to be leaving you." And that would panic any of us. Jesus says, "I'll come for you. I'll come for you." Some of us have left our kids at camp for the first time. And I remember when I got left there the first time, and I was a homesick, shy mess. I cried the whole week. It was before cell phones or any other connection, and it was a long ways from home. But I had one hope. I knew my folks would come back. Jesus said, "I'll come for you." Or as he hung on the cross, finishing our salvation, and he says, "It is finished. I've completed the work that I came to do." Such powerful words. Or, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he says to each of us, "Believe in me, you'll never die." Or you'll die physically, but you'll live eternally with Creator God. You see, it amazes me how easy it is to neglect God's word when it's the most powerful force imaginable. It changes our life because it's quick, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharp, and it cuts to the heart of us and brings us in line with the Creator. In the text, I have it in your notes, I listed a bunch of words. The Word of God is Creator God in action. He's living, means quick and productive. He's not a dead God. It's not dead words. It's not dull words. They're productive. They produce something. They make a difference. They bring substance out of nothing. They bring light out of darkness. They bring hope out of despair. They bring forgiveness out of bound in sin. They're active, means energy, and moving, and motivating. My through the Bible right now is in Kings, and Solomon is in his best days. And I read yesterday how that when he was doing everything right with nation Israel, it was an amazing place to be. He was at peace with his enemies, and he had an abundance of everything, more than he knew what to do with. And life was good because Solomon and a group of people were doing life the way God told them to do it. Didn't last all that long because they started messing it all up and ignoring the Word of God. The Word of God is active. It's moving. It's motivating. It was a reminder to me that though I can't change the world and I can't change the country, I can make a difference in my little sphere of influence. Because the Word of God is moving and motivating. It's powerful. How do we describe it any more than we just did? It's sharp. It's not dull. It doesn't hack away at us. When God takes His truth and brings it into our life and cuts to the very heart of us, the very center of our being, the core of our being, He doesn't come with a dull machete and kind of hack us up. He cuts right to the heart and deals with the issue that's there. Our sin needs that power of the Word. That's God in action. It's not something that's surfacey. It goes deep. It penetrates. It goes beyond the surface. Most of the cures offered on planet Earth today for anything and everything are surfacey. We're always dealing with symptoms and results. And what God says is, let me get to the heart of your problem. It's sin. And let's deal with that. It's like if we have a sticker in our arm and it kind of heals over a little bit. And when we bump it, it's sensitive. But, you know, it's all right. But it's down in there and it's causing problems. And finally we go to the surgeon and he slices it open. And for a little while we feel worse than we did before. And he gets to the heart of it and he treats it and he takes out the problem. And then it heals over good. And God says, let my word cut to your very core of your being. That's how we overcome sin in the first place, the blood of Christ. And as believers, that's how we deal with failures and faults and habits and addictions. We don't do surfacey things. We let the word cut right to the heart. It's a sharp tool, the word of God. Penetrates beyond the surface. It's discerning. There's wisdom. There's insight. There's depth. Of all the writings on planet Earth, and many of them are profound, there's nothing that measures up to the thoughts of God that are recorded in that wonderful book called the Bible. Knowing the thoughts of God, amazing. The creator of the universe, and we are able to learn in small ways to think together with him because he shared his thoughts. It's knowing. It's beyond human knowledge, way beyond it. It's exposing. It's revealing. It's open. Observing. The ultimate microscope is the Word of God. The ultimate microscope. I read an article this week that some scientists have figured out that butterflies have an ability to see some things that we haven't discovered. And so they're using the principle of what they're learning from butterflies to develop a camera to see things that we can't see otherwise. Isn't that amazing? I wonder who made the butterfly. The creator obviously did. It's caring. The Word of God goes way beyond judging. It points out our sin. There's a lot of negative stuff in there, but it's always in a context of caring, love, forgiveness, redemption. It exposes our ugliness to give to us beauty. It's convicting. Why? To bring repentance. Because we never get past our sin. We never get past our problems until we face them honestly and own them and repent of them, which means you turn around and leave them. Psalm 51, when David is dealing with his unbelievably disgusting sin. And basically in Psalm 51, he says, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'll change. That's repentance. That's what the word does for us. It convicts. It brings us to repentance. It guides us. To me, it's the ultimate OnStar in my car. It's worth everything it costs me every month. If I get further from home than downtown Portland, I turn it on and put the address in. It's amazing to me. They're out there somewhere, and you talk to them. And they know where I am. And they know what I'm doing. Scares me, you know? What else do they know about me? But they, most of the time, they've only failed me twice. Get me to the right place. I depend on it. It doesn't begin to compare with the guiding power of the Word of God. It's truth. Nothing that God does There's nothing that God does not see. I think we just read that. Verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Remember that good old song, You Cannot Hide from God? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I pray to God for insight and willingness to look at the truth of people who think they can ignore God and never pay the consequence of that. So, to kind of summarize the Hebrews passage, I put in your notes a portion of Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. The law of the Lord, probably referring at that time by that writer to the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. He says it's perfect. And to him it was complete. He didn't know the rest of the story like we do, but the law was complete to him. Really, we can have more information on how we're to live and not live from the basic Ten Commandments than we will ever fulfill in a lifetime. It's a full-time job. The law of the Lord is complete. It restores the soul. It brings restoration to the life, the breath. You feel like you're out of gas? You feel like you're out of breath? You feel like you're emotionally shot? Get into the Word. It's God in action. It'll put you back together. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They're established, making wise the simple. Our world is trying to make wisdom, but God takes the simple things and makes them wise. The precepts, the principles of the Lord, they're right. They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. It means they're clean. They give light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, they're true, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold. God's directives, God's words, more precious than gold. Lots of fine gold. Is that counter to our culture? I read just this morning that Solomon lined portions of the temple that he built with gold. That's how frequent and available it was. But in time, he set aside the words of God, and the gold became more important, and it was his downfall, along with other things. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and true and altogether righteous. They're more precious than gold and much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey and honey in the comb, and that was so relevant to the Jews. They look forward to eventually and finally we're in the land of milk and honey, statements of provision. By them your servant is warned, enlightened, and keeping them there is great reward. What's the compensation of keeping the Word of God? Joy, peace, fulfillment, direction, wisdom, hope, peace. And so Psalm 119, the writer said, how can a young man keep his way pure? And an impure life contradicts God's words in action because he is purity and he is truth. So as a child of God, how do I stay pure? And it's more than just young men, it's old men, it's young women, it's older women, it's everybody. How do we do that? So simple, so profound. By living according to your word. Why wouldn't we? What else are we going to live by? Because it's God in action. So he says, I will seek you, God, with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What's the key? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, God. So I come back to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, this time from the New Living Translation. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. And how do we allow this God in action be our source of life and direction and hope? We let the sword of God, double-edged no less, cut into the deepest part of who we are, to the core of our being, identify sin, enable us to confess, repent, and have the Spirit of God flush out that sin and put in his holiness, and plant in there the hidden word of God so that we don't keep on sinning. It's so simple, yet so profound, that it's easy to miss. The power of the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful that Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth that Jesus is God, your Savior, he'll declare you his child. How much more simple and profound can God make it? And as a believer, he says, if you'll let that word penetrate to the core of your being daily, hourly, minute by minute, he'll plant truth there and we'll live a pure life. Which not only brings us joy, but it makes us useful until God calls us home. The power of the word. Father, forgive us, forgive me when I neglect your word, when I get careless, when I spend time on things that are less important than hiding your word in the core of who I am, because that's where you dwell. When I believed in my heart and said with my mouth, Jesus is my God, my Savior, you, dear God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, linked up together with the eternal part of me that will be alive and well long after this body gives it up. That's where you are. And you desire to have that be a pure, holy, continually filled with grace relationship. So I invite you today, dear God, to cut to the very core of my being, cleanse from sin, and make your word active and powerful. And I pray that for every one of us, to be willing and anxious for that to happen. Because when that's going on, we're useful. We honor you. And what a privilege it is to be a part of your family, carrying your word, your presence, in a world that desperately needs to know you personally. Thank you for letting us have another day to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.